Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. From an article by NPR in 2012. Everyone knows what an Oreo cookie is supposed to be like. It is round, black, and white, and intensely sweet. Has been for over 100 years. But sometimes, in order to succeed in the world, even the most iconic product has to adapt. In China, that meant totally reconsidering what gives an Oreo its Oreo-ness. At first, though, Kraft Foods thought that the Chinese would love the Oreo. Who doesn't? The company launched the product there in 1996 as a clone of the American version. Lorna Davis, who was in charge of the global biscuit division of Kraft, says the Oreo did okay, but it wasn't a hit. It was almost pulled out of China. But before the cookie was declared a failure, Kraft thought that maybe a little research was in order. And so a decade after it was introduced, Kraft finally asked the right question of Chinese consumers, a question unthinkable in the United States. What's the problem with an Oreo cookie? The answer was surprising. Chinese consumers liked the contrast between the bitter cookie and the sugary cream, but they said it was a little bit too sweet and a little bit too bitter. It turns out that if you didn't grow up with Oreos and develop an emotional attachment to the cookie, it can be a weird tasting little thing. And this started a whole process in the Chinese division of Kraft of rethinking what the essence of an Oreo is. So Kraft changed the recipe and made the cookie more chocolatey, the cream less cloying. Side note, I don't know that I've ever used cloying in a sermon before. So they said this is a better balance, Davis reported. And it started to sell. But once the Kraft team began to tinker with the classic features of an Oreo, why not go all the way? So they started to ask themselves provocative questions. Why does an Oreo have to be black and white? Davis sent us an Oreo with green tea filling. Another had a bright orange center divided between mango and orange flavor. And why should an Oreo be round? They developed Oreos shaped like straws. In China, you can buy a long rectangular Oreo wafer the length of your index finger, which Davis points out makes it easier to dunk in milk. It became an almost philosophical question. If an Oreo isn't round and black and white and crazy sweet, is it still an Oreo? What is the essence of Oreo-ness? And what the Chinese team at Kraft figured out is that an Oreo is an experience. You pry it open. You scrape out the filling with your teeth. You plop it in a glass of milk. And their shorthand for the concept, twist, lick, dunk. And all the wild new shapes and flavors of Oreo wouldn't work in China unless they could somehow share that same experience. In the early days, people said there's no way that the Chinese would twist, lick, and dunk, because that is a strangely American habit, says Davis. But luckily for the team, the Chinese consumer was just starting to respond to emotional advertising. They launched a series of TV ads where cute children demonstrate to their parents and other adults how to eat an Oreo cookie American style. And Davis says they saw sales of Oreos double in China, then double again, and then again. And it is now the best-selling cookie in China. What is the essence of an Oreo? What is the essence of the Christian faith? What is the essence of church? What is the essence of the Christian community? The Christian experience? The Christian lens on life? It's halfway rhetorical. I'm halfway curious what you think. Actually, I am curious what you think. I just don't know if we have time to get into it right now. Everything we do as people of faith needs to be done with that core in mind. The way that we organize, the way that we worship, the way that we serve others. All the details, all the little bits and pieces, those things can change. I would argue with you that some details, bits, and pieces have to change because people change, culture changes, time changes. But that core of what it means to call ourselves a church, has to still be there. Otherwise, what's the point? Everything we do must be done with that in mind. Today's reading was harsh. I think it was. If you don't, that's fine. I think it was harsh. This king and the son's wedding celebration. You've probably heard the Luke version of this as well. In the Luke version of this, it's the rich guy who throws a party. And the first set of guests don't show up, so he goes out and brings in everybody off the street, and they have a giant party, and that's the end of it. It's a much more pleasant story. But in Matthew, for whatever reason, Matthew tells us a slightly different version. In Matthew, we have this king instead of the rich man. We have this son's wedding instead of a generic party. And in particular, we have the outer darkness with the infamous weeping and gnashing of teeth. Such a great expression, isn't it? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Luke version of this story is very easy to talk about. Everyone gets welcomed. It's great. It's fantastic. It's easy breezy. Read the Luke version, and then you get up and you say, "Everybody's welcome in Christ. Let's sing a song." So what do we take from this version? What do we take from this Matthew version that's relevant for us today in our experience as Christians today? Why do you think I wanted to read to you that story about the Oreo? It wasn't to get you guys thinking about, you know, dessert. What?
Black and white.
Because during, in that story, what were they doing? They were asking themselves, what are the things that we must hold on to if this is truly still an Oreo cookie? I know it's just a cookie. Bear with me. What is the essence of the Oreo? What is the Oreo-essence, if you will? Clearly, we need to let go of some things, they said, in order to reach the Chinese market. But what things are off the table? What things are at the core? What are the non-negotiables? What are the things that, even as we do this, as they try to expand their market, etc., what are the things that have to remain the same? And what are the things that don't? The king today invited outsiders. He invited people you would not expect to see at a state function. Because think about it, that's what this is. He's the king. This is his son. This is a state function. This is not just some random person getting married. This is a big deal. He brings in just about anyone eventually, but he does so still expecting those people to respect certain elements. In this case, the wedding robe. He welcomes them all in, but he still has a bottom line. His original guest list was a catastrophe. None of them show up. Some of them flat out ignore him. Some of them kill his servants. Doesn't go well, we could say, that original guest list. And so he was willing to change his expectations because of this. He was willing to invite in these other people. But there was still something that was vital and important to him, this wedding robe. We may not understand why. I don't understand why. Do you understand why? Really? I don't. But I can tell it's obviously important to him, right? Obviously, that robe meant something to this king. For whatever reason in the story, and remember, it's a story, no one actually gets hurt. It's a parable. There's no real king with a real son, with a real guest list, and a real, you know, thrown out in the weeping and gnashing. It's a parable. It's to make a point. For whatever reason, the king was willing to bend on who shows up But he still had this stipulation about what they wore, the wedding robe. There was still something for him that was vital, that had to be there. Sign of respect, tradition, I don't know. But it needed to be there. We've already had 3 or 4 house meetings now as a congregation talking about Bethel and about our ministry together and what the future of that looks like. And as Eli mentioned, we have a couple more this week. If you have not signed up for one, I encourage you to do so. If you don't want to sign up for one, I encourage you to stop by and talk, or call, or email, or Twitter, or something. Because we should talk. And if you don't want to talk to me, that's fine. Talk to someone from council. Talk to your friends, your family, your neighbors. I've got a whole packet here I'll give you after worship. You can talk about that. But it's important that we have this conversation. Because it's true, changes are going to occur no matter what we do going forward. But we still have to figure out our non-negotiables. We need to be aware of what we say the core is, what our core tenets are. What are the things that we say have to still be present for us to be a community of faith? You follow me? Whatever those answers are, we got to know that. We got to know where our core is. I suggest we focus on Christ. Crazy idea, I know. But I suggest we start out there. Things like the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you. What is the one thing he commands in Matthew? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And know that I am with you always to the end of the age. I combined the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I admit it, I cheated. But I think that's probably a good place for us to start. Now, you may disagree. You may say there are other things that need to be core, and that's fine. Something different? Something in addition? Remember, this isn't the parable. We won't be casting out anyone who disagrees. There will be no weeping and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness. For what it's worth, I don't even like Oreo cookies. I know, it's shocking. I never got into them. I don't do the twist dunk. It messes up my milk. My OCD trumps all Oreo cookiness, I'm just saying. But even for me, there was a place. Even for me, there was a place in the kingdom of God, even if I don't appreciate the Oreo essence. And there's a place for all of us. And there's a place for those who aren't here with us. What I've been saying to you the last several weeks was the first thing a messenger of God says when they show up. Be not afraid. Let's own that. Be not afraid. That's a good mantra for us to have. God is not done with us. Just because things change doesn't make them bad. It just makes them different. God is not done with us, and we still have a lot to do. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for the chance to gather together in community. We give you thanks for the ways in which you move us, the ways in which you foster kindness and love. We ask you to be with us today and always to help us to feel your presence, and to help us as we continue to look for what ways we may most faithfully serve you today, honoring both our past and looking towards our future. We pray all of these things, giving thanks to you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.